Paige Albiniak, editorial director at Promax, and this is the Daily Brief podcast. So we're 2 months and counting into this pandemic, and while things are opening up a little, it's still pretty unclear how and when we are all going to be able to emerge from this. In the meantime, however, some trends are starting to become clear as we consider what the world of entertainment, from TV to movies to sports to games to social media, looks like on the other side. To kick off that conversation, I am so happy to welcome Josh Norton and Carson Hood, executive creative director and executive producer at New York City-based creative agency Big Star. I'm going to start by asking Josh a few questions. Carson is going to sort of weave in and out of the conversation, both asking and answering questions as we go along. We're hoping to have several of these sorts of conversations going forward, especially because things being what they are, it's just hard to avoid this topic of conversation. And we would really love to hear how you think things are going to change as a result of the pandemic. Please share your thoughts, ideas, opinions with us on your social media platform of choice. Our handle on Facebook is Promax Global, all one word with both Promax and Global capitalized. Our handle on Twitter and Instagram is Promax _ Global. And you can also find us in our LinkedIn group at Promax Global, all one word. Okay, so to kick off this conversation, we have, I don't know, sacrificial virgin, Big Star executive creator, creative director, Josh Norton. Josh, thank you so much for being brave enough to jump in first. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure. It's always great to talk with you, Paige. This is my first time being a sacrificial virgin, so I'm honored.
It's the first time for everyone, really. So when this all started, so honestly, this feels like years ago now, when this all started, we had a conversation, me, you, and Carson, about how Big Star had prepared to make the switch to working from home and operating during the stay-at-home order. So hopefully we're sort of coming to the end of that phase. How would you say all that planning served you, and how would you say your team adjusted?
Super big questions. The verdict is still out as far as how our approach ultimately plays out. But so far, knock on wood, we've been extremely fortunate in general. Business is going well. New projects are coming in. Projects are being developed and delivered every day. And I think as a company, the team morale is pretty good. I think that preparation was and planning was really step one. And we did well on that. We started a few weeks before there was any kind of order to leave offices and go to a fully remote situation. I really accredit that to friends that I have in the industry that also own businesses that I was able to have an open dialogue with. Maybe it's a communal thing, or maybe it's me being competitive and wanting to be just as prepared as everybody else, or even over-prepared seemed like the thing to do. And so we got into a remote work and started testing it a few weeks before the order came down. And we were waiting for New York City schools to close, but we actually realized that our Mayor de Blasio was going to do that slower than we were comfortable with for a slew of reasons. So we invested in the time and money and technology that allows us to go remote. And that was kind of step number one. We had a lot of conversations with both staffers and freelancers as that step. And then step number two is implementation. You know, okay, everybody's now working from home entirely. Nobody's at the office and everybody is Slacking and Zooming every day. And that started to work out just fine. I think there were some kinks to work out in the beginning, but that ended up landing quite well. We were able to continue to deliver on promises and on projects and stay creative and keep morale up. Now we're in this, you know, next phase, which is, you know, when is this going to end? And how do we maintain that positivity, that kind of creative marathon-like energy that we need to apply to the projects and to our collaborations in general? You know, we don't know how long we're going to be in this stage. I'd certainly look forward to that final stage of returning to the office. I think that we all do. But I say that I've been really impressed by the industry as a whole in embracing this challenge. I think that creative people like new experiences and are pretty flexible in the way they're able to think and strive. you know, I'm really thankful for how we've been able to adjust. But yeah, we're all looking forward to getting back to the office, that's for sure.
So just a quick follow-up, like, do you feel like your team, how is your team feeling about Zoom calls at this point? Like, are they down with them still, or do you feel like people are getting tired of it?
You know, I don't know. I think that it's, you know, it's not something that I've really asked, like, hey guys, are you getting tired of this? Because I think it's actually fundamental. It's a fundamental part of our success thus far is being able to see people, you know, and not just getting on conference calls, but knowing that you're going to have some kind of at least visual contact with people throughout your day. I think it's extraordinarily important. I think that it allows us, even though we might not want to, it allows us to normalize a bit more than we would if we didn't have the Zoom calls. So you have to make yourself presentable. You have to take care of your surroundings. You have to be there at your desk. One of my main principles in kind of attacking this remote situation in this COVID setup is that work at its best right now should be a normalizing factor. You know, we're all used to going to an office and presenting ourselves to each other and being part of the community within that space and at, you know, within an industry at large. And I think it's extraordinarily important, not just for our careers, but for our really our mental well-being and our spirit to have those interactions, to have work to do. And that was my largest fear, is that people wouldn't have work to do. And fortunately, that has not been the case for Big Start thus far. Well, there's plenty for us to do. We're really grateful for that. And that was pretty much my number one thing coming into this, is like, what can we do as a company to create normalcy? And for me, that is to have work to do and to have a place where people need to be. And Zoom is part of that for us.
I will say that I feel like for either people have all the work to do, like more work than they've ever had to do, or people don't have any work to do. Like, I sort of feel like it's a very all or nothing phase of things.
You know, I've considered what has been the effect as far as incoming projects, of both in volume and type. And I would say Big Start as a company, we have a wide, diverse set of projects and client types that we work with. And we don't have like a seasonal business. It's very much a constant churning of new ideas and new projects with a variety of clients asking for a variety of things. We certainly have our specialties, but within that world, we do find a lot of variety and a lot of types. So for us, I think it's been kind of business as usual. There are some things that we can kind of cherry pick from it, but it hasn't really been feast or famine for us thus far. But I can certainly see how other companies that have perhaps a bit more of a narrow scope of focus than Big Start does can fall into those categories of either having a ton of work right now because they're especially well suited for it, or no work at all. And I'm, again, grateful for where we sit in that equation.
Yeah. I mean it even more broadly than the entertainment community, but just in the world, like, I think people are either working more than ever or they're out of work. You know, it's like, I don't think there's people that are like, I'm living my balanced life right now. I think it's been sort of an interesting process to try to balance. Okay. Sorry, Carson, go.
Just one note on like the adjustment for Big Start standpoint. I think, and from our standpoint, we did have a little bit of our production group specifically was pretty used to having video conferencing as a part of our process and our daily. And I feel like that kind of helped us when it came time for the whole company to go work from home, because the adoption came from the leading that into the team aspect and into our creatives and so forth. And I think keeping our kind of nucleus production company or department together and kind of already in that rhythm was nice. But with that, Josh, a question about the studio and, you know, work from home. What has it taught you about the company, and what opportunities do you think it will open up moving forward?
Well, I think that this remote situation has taught me about resilience, really, of the spirit of the company. And I know it's kind of a big statement and it's very general, but I feel like the collection of individuals that we happen to have at Big Star are very tough people and really take their commitment to not only their own careers, but to the company at large very seriously. And they also take their commitment to each other, to the team very seriously and to heart. And I've seen that in so many ways every day that it's been a real, I wouldn't say that I didn't know that was already there, but to see it in such stark relief has been really amazing. And it kind of reinforces this idea of how special those people are and the company as a whole is and how it really deserves to be protected. And that there's a lot we can do as a company and that I can do as the founder and owner of the company to continue to protect what's special about that company. So it's just kind of real, you know, shown me really how valuable and how amazing this group of people are together. It's really motivated me to add layers of process and protection that perhaps I was either blind to or too lazy to implement. I found the kind of motivation and headspace to double down on those things, be it administrative or creative process or otherwise. There's so much to learn still about working remotely with people. I had been kind of against it because, call me old school, I've been in this industry for a long time. It was unheard of when I first started in the industry, and the physical presence of people around people when doing creative things, I really still believe is important. And it brings up and churns up kind of an emotion or an energy or a level of competition within a company that can be really electric. You know, sharing a space allows for culture, I think, to solidify, for people's understanding of each other to solidify. And I don't think there's any real replacing that. But remote work can be really effective and can be very freeing for a lot of people as well. So I'm learning about how I can embrace remote work, not only as a creative, but also as a business owner, to let go a little bit, to allow people space to operate in the work in a way that suits them best in their own environment. And I think there's a lot of potential for different kind of productivity and different kind of creative output. And I'm going to continue to learn about that. But I think it's pretty exciting because if you look at the idea of, you know, remote creative work and embracing that, your collaborators then become more global than ever. That can mean a lot for diversity of ideas, of point of views, and perhaps even some economic advantages that you could turn on later down the line. For us as a company, we've been very, very focused on keeping our staffers working to the highest level possible, not only for the trusted output that we know we can get from each other, but also for the job security. But the idea of like, hey, when this is done, maybe we're going to start to kind of open up the books to other collaborators around the globe is a pretty exciting thing as well.
Do you think, Josh, that some of the bonding that's gone on with your team through this experience of being resilient together, do you think that that is something that will continue going forward because they've already had this experience together, they've gone through it in a different way?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, isn't that one of the just very human things? You know, you go through some heavy times together, and unique experiences together bonds you. So yes, I would also say at the same time, those bonds were very strong before this all went down, and that has been really beneficial. And certainly another aspect that I continue to not take for granted is that people are working not only for themselves, but they're working for those people on the team that are depending on them. You know, when you're bonded with people, whether it's through, you know, shared work experiences and
shared outings and fun things we do together at the office or a shared mission, or in this case, a crisis, it's all extremely valuable. And at the end of the day, we don't want to let each other down. And I think it's very human and it's highly motivating.
Carson.
Definitely agree with that. There's already chatter amongst the office of where we're going to go to dinner when we're able to get dinner again together. So that should be, let's just say that the office is closed for the next morning because that could be a long night. But, you know, looking at our clients and thinking about some of the needs they may have, it leads me to storytelling, Josh, and it's something that, you know, we spend a lot of time talking to our clients about. It plays a large role in marketing. Do you see that changing in any way or evolving as we begin to move forward?
You know, I think that so much of my job as the executive creative director, you know, the ECD title is something where I think you have to live and operate by a set of principles that are absolute in many ways. And good storytelling, smart, effective design, beautiful colors, realistic effects, those things don't really go out of style. And when they do, I'll probably be out of work. We are still committed to those top level principles, but how we get there and the types of stories we're telling and the formats of those stories is constantly shifting. And we're a company that enjoys the relative state of things when it comes to trends in media and different ways of marketing, different ways of generating content, platforms continuing to go in a multitude of directions, and all the consolidation of distributors and content generators and developers. It's all constantly shifting. But, you know, to answer your question, as far as I understand it, what changes with storytelling? And I think that, yes, the medium changes, but I think that the fundamentals really do stay the same.
What is it? The medium is the message. Now I forget who said it.
Yeah, the medium is the message.
Noam Chomsky, I think, actually.
It might have been.
Wow, good pull.
Yeah.
And I didn't even Google it. Just to follow up on that, Josh, have you seen, I mean, do you think as a result of stay at home, quarantine, et cetera, that the actual medium has needed to change in terms of the storytelling? Or do you feel like you're still distributing the stories the same as you ever have?
It takes a lot to kind of nail down an answer to that question because there's so many different layers of distribution and storytelling.
Yeah.
I don't think the dust had settled on those layers yet. I think that you have mediums like that are just kind of really starting to come into popularity and rise, like TikTok, for example. Mm-hmm. But, you know, people love the 2-hour film still. People love a series that can go on and on and tell them these amazing character arcs through these long, expansive series and hours and hours and hours of programming. And people fall in love with characters and places and looks. And, you know, that's some of the, you know, the constant. You know, I think some things change and some things don't, like I was saying in the previous answer, but I just certainly think methodology continues to evolve and it continues to evolve really fast. One of the things that we, believe in as through our experience with top level marketing teams is, for example, the connection to individual characters is something that I think American audiences need and really pine for. How do we deliver that kind of connection with the right design aesthetic through different platforms? And that's something that we kind of constantly work on. Things change, some stay the same. We don't know how this is going to shake out yet, but I do think that there's a major workforce change that's upon us now.
How so?
I think at least people are going to be looking at working remotely when they're out for jobs, either as freelancers or as staff members. When a talented individual is looking for a work situation, that door is now completely open. I think that, especially in the creative marketplace, I think individuals are going to be able to make a decision on how they want to work, whether they want to come into an office at all, or if they want to work exclusively from home. And I think that's going to be a decision maker that the market is now going to have to be open to. For companies that are vying for talent, I think they're going to just have to really be open to those kind of decisions in different work situations. I would say that's at least to consider New York, LA, London, et cetera, these major creative centers could empty out in a degree as far as people who have had to live in those places to work in the industries that they love may no longer have to work, you know, have to live in those places. So you could see, I think, a pretty big shift in where creative professionals live and how they do their work. And I think that can really affect those cities in a major way. I think a lot of people are going to be moving to the country and wanting to work remotely. Also, there's a huge uptick in things like, you know, homeschooling. I think that people are going to get used to that notion. So parents and children will have a different relationship with time. I think that, you know, those are some really major changes that we'll be looking at for the next few years.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's sort of like it became this giant proof of concept in terms of, could we make it with everyone working from home? And what we've learned is, yeah, actually we can. And we can also produce late night TV and news from home. Not that we want to do that forever, but I think that's been a really important lesson. And the other point I wanted to make really quick, and then I'm going to kick it back to Carson, is I think it's really interesting that this quarantine time fell smack in the middle of these big new platform launches. So HBO Max and Peacock and Quibi all launching during this time or around it. Mm-hmm. And so you are already running into this huge entertainment marketing and consumption shift. And so anything that was already in flux, all that just accelerated and became different. But I just think all that happened much more quickly and differently than anybody expected. So that's sort of an interesting thing that all coincided at once.
Yeah, it is a fascinating time. And I don't think that it's played out yet.
We're
very much in progress with like, okay, well, how is Max going to launch? And what's going to kind of be the next stage for Quibi, etc.? And we're all keeping a really close eye on it.
Yeah, with that, Josh, when you think about all these platforms and this expedited rush to get them up and out and filled with content libraries, does your approach change? Or do you think there's a moment in when you read a brief or when you think about these that you need to think about the Big Star approach to things and maybe tackling a little bit different, or Is it steady as it goes?
Well, I think there's like two different situations with that answer. One situation is like, are there sensitivities that you have to bring to your work today because of what we're all dealing with? And the answer is yes. I think that there's a appetite for the kind of tonal appetites have changed a little bit during these times. And you can see that with what audiences are watching and what shows are really popular. I think that people really want an escape right now. I believe that the kind of escape they want is something that's a little bit more vibrant, a little more positive leaning compared to all of the kind of detective, true crime, murder, mystery stuff that has been so popular in the last few years. You know, I think that the Tiger King series it's Tiger King, right?
Yes.
The most popular show ever. Like, it's a perfect example of the escapism that people are really enthusiastic about getting from their entertainment platforms right now. I think keeping that in mind as we all go through the COVID situation together is one thing. And then long term, I feel like you kind of stick to your guns, and the medium will continue to evolve and change, and you just have to stay with the times.
You know, you talked about that projects have continued to come in through this. Have you found that your clients need what they need from you right now and during this is different than what you think they would typically need?
I think that the deadlines have kind of changed. I think it's been hard for really large companies to get consensus and scheduling done. I think it's been a really different challenge. Like we're a kind of a meaty boutique style shop. We're not that small, but we're not 100 plus employee companies that have a lot of red tape to cut through in order to kind of switch gears. It's an advantage of being kind of a smaller outfit. We were able to switch over really quick. But so for some of these larger entities that we work with, networks and production companies and distributors, et cetera, and large brands, they have all of these moving parts. And I feel like they've been making a lot of 11th hour decisions and then picking up the phone and kind of calling Batman, that's us, Big Star, saying like, hey, save us because we know we're 3 weeks behind what a normal schedule would be, but we really need to get this on air. And, you know, they're being really creative with their resources and their assets and repurposing and rethinking things. And they have to do that quickly. And they're big companies and they, you know, need to do that in a way that works for them. So I think that there's a lot of time pressure that's even more so than usual on their side. And it's translating to us having even faster deadlines than we typically do. But mostly it's the same type of asks. Carson, would you agree with that?
I haven't seen like a large shift in certain ask of capabilities, but it is definitely the biggest need I think that most of our clients have right now is trust. I think that the people we're working with and the companies that are coming to us right now are trust that we are going to be able to be flexible, that they're going to be able to kind of give us the brief or give us the need, and we're going to be able to kind of read between the lines and use our capabilities that the best way possible to see something to fruition. And that's more the need I see. It's a little bit more of a, I always say, be an athlete, you know, like when in doubt, just do good work. And I think that's really kind of more the biggest need I've seen from our clients versus an actual skill set or capability.
I think also what's interesting for Big Star, and I don't know how this is applied across, you know, different agencies, but I think, and one of my questions on here was about how one of Big Star's specialties is to make something out of nothing. And I think in a time where these big companies who are like, they're, what's the phrase about like turning a giant ship? You know, it's a lot to have to turn on a dime. So where can come in is having that agility where maybe these clients don't have it, but you do. So you can come in and say, actually, we've got the skill set that you need right now. And that's to your advantage during this time.
Yeah, I would say so. I think size has thus far been a positive for us. You know, we're actually, you know, we've made hires during this. Which is totally counterintuitive, but we believe in long-term planning as a company, and we have to continue to look toward the future. Fortunately, we're in a position where we can continue to do that. And yeah, we're getting creative with our resources, just as our clients and developers that we work with are repackaging shows, doing, you know, home shooting. Mm-hmm. Which is really kind of funny and tragic. I think that both the kind of host and or celebrity side of that equation where they're shooting themselves at home cannot wait until that time is over. But I'm really, really glad that we work in a creative industry where people know they're in a creative industry and they know they have to get creative to get through this. And that's exactly what people are doing, I think, on all ends of the equation. And, you know, it's not like we're selling a hard commodity You know, we're not selling pharmaceuticals that we can't create because we don't have a factory for it. We're not selling oil or some other resource. It's like, no, we're selling human ingenuity and empowered by technology. So, you know, how do we take both sides of that equation and make the best out of it every day? I think that's what this industry as a whole is doing. The entertainment industry as a whole is doing. So many projects are on hold, and I'm like afraid for the time where live action production can begin again, because it is going to get so insane. It's so busy. I'm almost like bracing for that. Now is a temporary moment in time. Things are definitely going to change, and you know, we do the best we can with it. I hope that answered some of your question, but that was more about how I'm feeling about things.
Yeah, no, I think that live action question is really interesting too, because you're right. It's going to be like floodgates are open.
I know. But, you know, my heart does go out to those people who have to be on set because they can't work. Of course, there's unions and so on, and there's some level of protection for some of those people. But my friends in the live action industry are completely out of work, and you can't replace work. You can have some kind of assistance. You can have some kind of respite as far as some of the financial hardships that come along, some of it, but you can't replace our industry's people's need to work and to create. And so I continue to just feel extraordinarily fortunate that we're in a position where we continue to create. I've been jealous of live action folks for many years about not being chained to their desks and, you know, seeing the world through their work. But man, right now they're really suffering, and certainly my heart goes out to them. But once we're over this hump, that work is going to explode.
Definitely an area to watch, though, and going back to what you said about working in creative industry, where some of these creative minds, I think, will continue to come up with great workarounds. New York Times had an article actually this weekend about a Netflix series and another film, Children of the Corn, actually, that are in production, and I think Children of the Corn is actually finishing production, but how they did it. And it was interesting. It was about how they came up with like a wristband process, that if you had a white wristband, then you could only go in this area, and they did, you know, temperature checks and stuff like that. So hopefully people will continue to work through that and find some good solves to start slowly working back into set life. Do you see, Josh, what have you seen out there, and do you see anything that's exciting you as far as entertainment marketing? Has this opened up any challenges or opportunities that you think will allow you to, I don't know, maybe stretch your creative muscles a little bit more or dive into a certain technique that maybe you hadn't got a chance to or didn't use a lot of, or anything along those lines?
You know, as far as like successful ways of seeing marketers address audiences like during the pandemic, I love anything that celebrates the frontline workers, as long as brands are doing that in a positive and honest way and putting those people front and center and letting an audience see them, all about it. And I don't care if it's an HBO image spot getting into the Max launch or something that Nike's doing. Like I love that stuff. And I think those people need to be celebrated in general, but absolutely, especially now. And I think there's an appetite for that in the entertainment marketing industry to not co-opt their story, but tell their story. I've seen that quite a bit, and say that these people deserve to be celebrated. And it's our kind of version, I think, as an industry saying, we're okay, and we're going to spread some goodwill, and our show's going on, and we want to support those frontline people. And so I've seen that a lot, and I think it's great. And anything that kind of warms your heart when you watch it, I think is valuable and beneficial to any brand. So I love that stuff. And, you know, for us, it's essentially people want more from their entertainment brands right now than ever, and they want that escape. And our job is to give them the highest level of entertainment that we can through our design work. Mission continues.
It's exciting to see technology and marketing kind of become one even more
even faster than it already was. It's kind of, you know, like we've said about so many things, this sped up a lot. And I think this sped up the merging of technology and some more traditional forms of marketing and design and animation and creativity as a whole. And so I think that's exciting to watch and something to continue to research.
Right. We're more cyborgs now than we were 3 months ago.
But can you imagine this without technology? Like what this would have been like?
No.
Yeah, it's crazy to think of. And it's been crazy to see what technology has been able to carry us through. I mean, the fact that there's some problems with it in terms of like remote learning, like not everybody actually has a laptop or a smartphone or broadband access. But largely, people have been able to do their work and do their school and get their entertainment and be on a Zoom call through internet. And it's just pretty amazing. We even have that. One thing, it's kind of related to what you were just saying, Josh, but I think it's sort of an interesting contradiction in the TV business right now, which is that on one hand, I feel like I think it's waning a little bit now, but in the height of this, people were watching more TV than ever. I mean, a lot of people, they were like, basically, that's all I'm doing. I've watched all of Netflix, et cetera. But at the same time, you saw advertisers pulling out. So there's also been, you know, and especially without live sports, without the Olympics, et cetera. So you've seen a lot of those stories about, you know, the billions of dollars that have been lost as a result of the loss of that programming. So I think it's sort of an interesting, like, this was the best of times, it was the worst of times for TV. Mm-hmm. But when we come out of this, what do you think this will mean for TV?
Gosh, you know, it's really hard to say. That's above my pay grade, I would have to admit.
Mine too, that's why I'm asking you.
like as a citizen, you know, who does watch TV and is involved and of course really critical of any advertising that I see and stuff, I think it's a little bit of a blip. And and I do think that many of those fundamental things that people expect and want from their entertainment brands will continue to live on. I think that there's a opportunity in every crisis for positive change. I think sports is something that has an opportunity to reset some of its own arcane rules when it comes to broadcasting and when it comes to the way that sports is, I think, marketed and represented. The sports engine hasn't pressed pause in 100 years. It's an extraordinary moment where, okay, we're shutting it down. And I'm absolutely sure that everybody in sports on every level is really taking stock of how they do what they do. And I think you'll see some pretty big changes at the other side of this. What those will be, I really don't know. But there's, a huge opportunity in that. And so many super smart and talented people work in sports. I think you're going to see some things really amplified and perhaps some older practices left behind.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I also think you're right. Just like live action, I think like when, like if the NFL comes back as they're talking about, or baseball comes back like they're talking about without audiences, et cetera. But I still think once that comes back on TV, I mean, I bet you see the NFL have record audiences this fall, because I think people who are sports fans are dying. I am not one of them, but I think that you know, those people are.
Yeah, you know, sports is a real constant in across the globe as far as, you know, is there a game on tonight? Is there, you know, some news about what happened yesterday? What's going on with my team? It's a constant, you know, story that we're used to following, and it goes on and on and on. And for that story to pause it's totally unheard of. I think people are really hungry for it, and it's going to have a certain kind of boom when it comes back. I think that a lot of things are going to come back really strong across the board, you know, beyond entertainment as well. You know, I think that one of, you know, you had mentioned advertisers, you know, kind of pulling out like the sky was falling. There are certainly big money interests that are waiting to take a wide view on things to see how this shakes out and being really conservative. And we saw that 2008 after the financial collapse, you know, there were advertising was hit really hard, and the companies like Big Star were hit really hard as well. It was a very tough time for us for a couple of years after that. I hope that the economy in general is ready to bounce back and really get everybody back to work.
2008 taught you that, you mentioned resiliency earlier, but 2008 taught you that resiliency. So this time around, at least you probably have some preparation for it.
Yeah, I think you just have to really be as a, you know, there's the kind of creative side of that and the industry side of that equation. But then there's also just the small business owner side of that. And I think you just have to do your best to be as objective and prepared as you possibly can be and know the value of what you have. Continue to do the best every day with the resources and relationships that you have, because you really can't take it for granted, especially now.
Right. Okay, so we're getting ready to wind down, but I have a couple others, but Carson, what else do you have?
I was going to add on the sports note that I think that that is something that could, like you said, Paige, I think football and sports that come back are going to have huge ratings numbers, but I think it's going to be some time before they have people actually in the stand.
Yeah.
Which is something that Mark Cuban has been predicting for some time with NBA basketball. It was years ago. He wrote this whole op-ed about how he feels like in the future, NBA stadiums will be in high rises. And you could play basketball on the 14th floor of a high rise because you won't need the audience because they'll be watching online and it'll just be such a small crowd. And I think that that is very, now feeling very kind of true. I think that that could be huge numbers for TV and for networks, and how that'll counteract to the actual in-person experience. Should be interesting to watch in sports. But yeah, as far as wrapping this conversation, Josh, thank you for doing this and participating. I think from my standpoint, we've touched on all my questions.
Okay, then I'll just ask the last couple ones, which is one of them, I feel like you've kind of made these points along the way, so I appreciate that. Thank you for doing my job for me. But do you see any silver linings in all of this? And if so, what are they? And I'll just mention a couple that you've said. I think the resiliency is one. I think this idea of flexibility in terms of where people work, how they work, who they work for, the way they work for them. I think, like I said, this has all been a proof of concept for this, which I think could ultimately be very helpful for many industries, not just ours. But what else? Is there anything else like that you see out there that you think once this is all done, we're going to actually benefit in this way?
I'll say one thing in general. The economy, especially in the United States, is built on growth, quarter after quarter growth. This is the first time in my lifetime that has collectively that growth has been put on pause. When things pause and when things slow down, we all have a moment to assess, to audit ourselves, to audit what we do and how we do it. I think that for everybody, there's a huge advantage in that. So I would say, you know, in a very encouraging way, like whatever, if it's catching up with your significant other or your children, even if you're losing money or losing time that you want back, this is a unique moment. The world has been put on pause. You know, assess things, really take a good look at how you're doing what you're doing, why you're doing it. And that's what we've been doing at Big Star. And I think we're going to make a lot of changes. And I think part of the impetus to make those changes is really just the space to make changes and to think and to redesign how we do some things. We've talked a lot about process, not only, you know, not just before the pandemic, but in the beginning of 2020, we told ourselves that we were going to really tighten the bolts on a lot of the way we process through projects and take care of relationships, because we felt like we could do a better job, and we know that we can. We always can. This pause has kind of deepened that process. So for us, our expectation is that we're going to be a far better company at the end of this. Those bonds that were already strong are going to be stronger. We feel really positive about the future.
I feel a lot of pressure on myself because I feel like I've done none of that self-evaluation. I've just been like head down working, and I'm going to come out and be like, well, okay, I worked a lot. All right, last question. I'm going to put the I was going to only put the pressure on Josh, but I just decided I'm going to put it on everybody, which is each of us make one prediction about how you think entertainment marketing will change or be different coming out of the pandemic. Although I'm going to totally cheat because I'm going to say, I'm going to follow up on what you just said, which I think is that for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And so I think what you said about this has been a big contraction period for the economy, just like with sports, it's when the gates open, it's going to open really big. So I think we'll see this incredibly large, I don't want to say rebound, but I do think we'll see a lot of, not a bubble, but you know what I mean? A big bounce that I haven't really heard people talk about, but I sort of think all this restrictedness will result in a lot of just people bursting out. That's sort of my imagination, which will be good for the economy, which will be good for advertising, which will be good for sports. Carson, you're on the spot.
Okay. I think we'll see mobile first on everything. I think that we're going to be concentrating a lot more, even more so, I guess I should say, on the screen in your hand versus any of the others. Josh, to you.
I think it's really good to have a common enemy for unity. And perhaps the common enemy today is this virus. We all want to beat it and get on with our lives. And that's universal. So my hope is that change as far as entertainment, perhaps entertainment news and documentary making and trend setting as far as political culture is concerned, is that it becomes less divisive through the shared experience that we're having as a nation and really as a world.
So your lips, God's perhaps, ears, Josh.
Yeah, perhaps that's a change that can, you know, touch on the way we do entertainment and entertainment marketing. That's what I hope for.
All right. That's an excellent place to end on. Thank you, Carson. Thank you, Josh.
Thanks, Josh. Well, good to talk to you both.
You too.
Take care.
Okay. Right. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
All right. Bye,
everybody.
Thanks again to Josh Norton and Carson Hood of Big Star for joining me on the podcast today. And thanks to Video Helper for providing the music. Again, we would love to hear from you about what you think the future holds for entertainment marketers. So please reach out to us on Facebook and LinkedIn at Promax Global or on Instagram and Twitter at Promax_Global. You can also email us at dailybrief@promax.org. You can subscribe to the Daily Brief podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.